नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य on the banks of Sri Radha Kund, Srila Prabhupada was in the presence of his worshipable master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Srila Prabhupada had surrendered his heart and his soul at the lotus feet of his Guru Maharaj. Although at the time he had a family and such responsibilities toward them, his heart of hearts was always contemplating how to serve the mission of Guru Maharaj. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur could see the love and dedication in our Srila Prabhupada's heart. And thus, he spoke very confidentially. For the spiritual master to see conflict amongst disciples is very painful. Why is it painful? Because the great souls are compassionate. The spiritual master, out of compassion, as an instrument of Lord Chaitanya's love, takes not only formal responsibility, but a deep, heartfelt concern for the spiritual welfare of each disciple, and is also very much hopeful that their unity and their purity can spread the glories of the holy name to innocent fallen people throughout the whole world who are otherwise hopeless and helpless. Yes, it is true. This entire planet Earth has been viciously struck by the tsunami wave of illusion from the ocean of Kali, and spiritually on every continent there is mass devastation, enormous casualties, And therefore the great souls, they understand the great need of relief work. And in this age of Kali, there is only one medicine that can actually cure the hearts. To actually counteract the devastating effects of the waves of Kali. And that is the association of Vaishnavas and the chanting of the holy names. Kaler dosanide raja nasti he kumahan guna kirtanadeva krishnasya mukta sanga parambrajant. The age of Kali is an ocean of faults. And the waves of that ocean has struck hard. It is an ocean of faults. But there is one benediction. Simply by chanting the holy names of the Lord, one can attain the supreme perfection of liberation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to spread this prime benediction for all humanity to the world. Namo Mahabhadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gauradvesha Namaha. Most magnanimous and merciful, even more so than Krishna. Krishna revealed his pastimes to the world and spoke Bhagavad Gita to give us the ways and the means by which we could approach him. But he comes in this age of Kali as the golden avatar to personally teach by his example how we can achieve the highest perfection. Lord Chaitanya and his associates, they broke open the storehouse of love of God, which was sealed, confidential to only a few. They broke it open, they tasted it, and profusely distributed it to everyone and anyone without discrimination of who is fit or unfit. Through Nam Sankirtan. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, on the banks of Sri Radha Kund, the supreme, most intimate and confidential holy place in all of the universal creation, the place where Sri Sri Radha Gopinath perform the summit of all their confidential pastimes, eternally, every day. A place where many people go, praying for even a drop of the prema. Rupa Goswami has written that if one in the proper consciousness bathes in Radha Kund, which is none different than the love of Srimati Radharani, one will be blessed with that same type of love. But here is Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur on the banks of Radha Kund, revealing his heart to his very, very intimate loving disciple, Srila Prabhupada, who was then Abhay Charanaravinda. He said, there is fire in the mat. There is fighting amongst the devotees. And what was that fighting? over insignificant, useless positions. A devotee never demands respect, but a devotee should command respect. What is the difference? To demand respect means to expect it from others and to be very discouraged or angry if you don't get it. To order it, you must give me respect. To command respect means to live and speak in such a way that one naturally conquers the hearts of others, and they want to respect you. They want to surrender to you. We were discussing the other day, Kanaka Kamini Pratishta Bhagini, that a great devouring tigress has come to devour us in the forms of greed and attachment for wealth, lust for the opposite sex, or in the age of Kali, it could be the same sex. And pratishta, the desire for recognition, respect, adoration, prestige. Krishna tells what tastes like nectar in the beginning tastes like poison in the end. It is a trap of Maya. We think we'll get some pleasure through these forms: wealth, sex life, and honor. But actually, it is a tigress. It is coming to devour us. So when the spiritual master sees the disciples who he has given his life for fighting over such petty things as position, recognition, envious of one another, out of compassion, it is very, very painful. And Prabhupada explained that when devotees fight in this way, so much of their energy goes into that, that the world suffers because we cannot outreach to them. So yes, on banks of Radha Kund, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was speaking like this to Prabhupada. They are fighting over rooms. There is fire in the mats. There is disunity. He often said, do not try to see Krishna. Try to serve Krishna in such a way that he will be pleased to see you. This was really the subject matter of His Holiness Devamrita Swami Maharaj's class yesterday, which he so eloquently and comprehensively explained. So on banks of Radha Kund, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was thinking of his service to Srimati Radharani. What will please her? Krishna descended with the heart and the love of Srimati Radharani to this world. Krishna wanted to taste the sweetness of her love. And Radha and Krishna, in the form of Gauranga, wanted to manifest that love toward every living being in the spirit of compassion by giving them Krishna prema. That is service. This is real ecstasy. Real ecstasy is not how I will enjoy it, but how Radha and Krishna will enjoy me. It was at that time that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave his historical instruction to Srila Prabhupada. He said, "We have built this mat in the Bagh Bazaar of Calcutta, and now they are fighting over rooms. It will be better if we take the marble off the walls and print books. If you ever get money, print books. Distribute books." Years later in Los Angeles, Srila Prabhupada explained how the devotees should distribute books. And he even confessed that whether this is realistic or not, it is the order of my spiritual master. Therefore, I must blindly follow it. To translate, to print, and distribute these books. To be empowered to change people's hearts can only come when we're satisfying our guru and the parampara. It is not by our intelligence. It is not by our creative efforts. We must use our intelligence and our creative efforts. But actually, the flow of bhakti can only manifest through us when we are carrying out the instruction of the great souls. We should never think we know so much. In fact, Lord Chaitanya taught us that we should always feel ourselves fool before spiritual master. And that doesn't only mean when he's physically present with us. That means our whole life. Even after the spiritual master leaves this world for many, many years, still, his instructions and his mood of preaching is on top of our heads, and we must always feel fool before that. Prabhupada often chastised his disciples for being over-intelligent. We should be simple. This is the real secret of success. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasado yasya prasada nagati kuto. So Prabhupada took this order as his life and soul. On his first meeting with Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he got an instruction. Spread Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings in the English language all over the world. And at Radhakund, distribute books and print books. So these two simple instructions is the very heart of Srila Prabhupada's whole mission. And there are many, many great scholars, philosophers, and bhajan, and people who have perfected their bhajan. But because Prabhupada took these simple instructions as his life and his soul, and never thought that there's anything beyond it, such faith, such sacrifice, is what empowered him to do what Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and Bhaktivinoda predicted, to manifest around the whole world hundreds and thousands of people to chant the holy name.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama.
Lord Chaitanya taught Mahajano Yena Gata Sapanta that the path of perfection is to follow in the footsteps of great personalities. We must understand very carefully the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. But one of the most beautiful ways of comprehending and absorbing the philosophy of Mahaprabhu is simply to hear about the lives of the great personalities who surrendered their lives to the Lord. The Srimad Bhagavatam, as Makanlal Prabhu was explaining yesterday, is narration after narration of great devotees and how they lived. Through them, not only the principles of philosophy, but the practical methods in which they are applied are understood. We are coming from a most glorious disciplic succession of empowered acharyas. It is our good fortune to open our minds and our hearts to try to understand the lives of these acharyas. We cannot imitate them, but we could learn so much about philosophy, about surrender, about Vaishnava relationships, simply by hearing. Today, I would like to speak briefly about one such great acharya in our disciplic succession. He is the first personality in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya to accept the mission of distributing books. Today we will speak something on the life of Srinivas Acharya. But before we begin, I would like to welcome His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj to our gathering. I remember when I first met Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj several decades back. I think it was in about 1979. He was telling me about Srinivas Acharya. Do you remember? He was very much explaining the importance of the Bhakti Ratnakar, a book which explains the history of the acharyas in the generation after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. So as a humble offering at your lotus feet, I will try to speak something today, Maharaj. In Bengal, there is a village called Chakandi Gram. And there was a very learned and pure-hearted Brahmin whose name was Gangadhar Bhattacharya, and his wife was Lakshmi Priya. He once went to his father-in-law's home in Jajigram, his name Balaram Vipra. And from there, went to Kantak Nagar, or Katwa. He saw many people rushing to Keshav Bharati Maharaj's ashram. Just when he arrived, he saw the beautiful form of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who had just come from Navadvip, and he sat down and very, very strongly commanded a barber to shave his beautiful curling hair. That hair that enchanted the entire creation. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's hair was being cut in preparation for his taking of sannyas, a great roar of weeping and tears filled the world. Gangadhar Bhattacharya was beside himself in grief. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu happily sat down under a tree with Keshav Bharati and was given the sannyas name Sri Krishna Chaitanya. This Gangadhar was so much moved by this experience that all he could say was, Chaitanya, 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 just repeating the name of the Lord. He was mad. He was intoxicated. When he came back to to Chakandigram, all he could do was just cry out, Chaitanya, 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 Chaitanya. And the residents thought he was completely mad. And they understood why he was in this state. And they didn't know what to do about it. So Son of the thought, the only person who can help him is Lord Chaitanya. So therefore, they all started calling him Chaitanya Das. Because he had given his life, his soul, his everything to Lord Chaitanya, who was his only shelter. After that incident of witnessing the sannyas ceremony and seeing the beautiful form of Lord Gauranga the first time in his life, something extraordinary happened. In his heart, he had a very deep, uncontrollable yearning for a son. He was such a detached person that he never had such an inclination like this before. And simultaneously, that same desire grew within the heart of his wife, Lakshmi Priya. Chaitanya Das explained his feelings to his wife. And she replied that we should go to Jagannath Puri to see Lord Chaitanya. And then the fruit of all of our desires will be fulfilled. So they went to Puri. As they were walking, they were both lamenting. Why? Why did we waste our lives? All of these years we have not surrendered to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All of these years we have spent and wasted in so many mundane affairs. Let us pray, let us hope that for every moment of our lives we can meditate on the sweetness of the beautiful moon-like face of Sri Gauranga. In this way, they traveled to Puri. Just outside of Puri, while they were lamenting in this way, they both simultaneously had a vision. In that vision, they saw a beautiful young boy who had a dark complexion like a rain cloud. He had lovely lotus-like eyes, peacock feather adorning his head. He stood in a threefold bending form and was playing upon his flute. He had a dhoti which was the color of lightning and a beautiful garland of multi-flowers from the forest extending below his knees. That form turned into Sri Navadvip Chandra with a golden complexion like a champak flower, with lotus eyes that seemed to extend to his ears. That beautiful form was dazzling. His long curly hair was enchanting the hearts of all. He was dancing in ecstasy with his associates. And then that form turned into Lord Chaitanya as a sannyasi, holding a staff and a kamandalu in saffron clothes. And then that form turned into the beautiful blackish form of Jagannath, who was performing extraordinary pastimes with Balaram and Subhadra. Then the dream disappeared. They entered into Puri, and right when they came to the Singhadwaram, Lord Chaitanya was just entering Jagannath Temple with his intimate associates. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu happened to see Chaitanya Das. When Lakshmi Priya and Chaitanya Das saw the beauty of Lord Chaitanya's form, unblinkingly they gazed upon him with torrents of tears of love flowing from their eyes. Lord Chaitanya called for him, and he said, "Go to see Lord Jagannath. He will fulfill your desire." Then Lord Chaitanya and his associates went for the darshan of Jagannath, and as they were coming out, Chaitanya Das fell at the feet, repeatedly offering his obeisances to Mahaprabhu and to each and every one of his associates. And Lord Chaitanya told Govinda, "Bring him before Jagannath Dev." Chaitanya Das prayed before Lord Jagannath. A little later that day, the devotees were very curious. What was this desire? They asked Govinda, "Do you know what the desire was that he had that Lord Chaitanya told him to ask for?" Govinda said, "This is a secret. Nobody knows. But I think Lord Chaitanya will reveal it to us." Just at that moment, Lord Chaitanya called for Govinda. And he told that this great Brahman, he has come to Jagannath Puri with the desire to have a son. And Lord Jagannath will fulfill his desire. His son will be named Srinivas. He will be the very personification of ecstatic spiritual love. Through Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, I have revealed the desires of my heart which they have put in their books. And through Srinivas, I will distribute those books throughout the land. After the darshan, Lord Jagannath appeared within a vision to Chaitanya Das and told him that
your Son will be spiritual love personified that I am sending to save the suffering humanity.
Then Lord Chaitanya called for Chaitanya Das and told him,
go to Godadesh immediately. The Lord will fulfill your desire.
So he went home, and practically immediately, his wife Lakshmi Priya was pregnant. On the full moon day of the month of Vaishakha,
the child was born, and he was given the name Srinivas.
He grew like the waxing moon. When he was just a young child, his mother, who was a very pure devotee, she taught him Nam Sankirtan. Whenever he was with his mother would just teach him names of Krishna and names of Lord Chaitanya. And he would repeat these names after his mother, and his mother would sing the names, and he would sing the names with his mother. In this way, he would practically not repeat anything else except the beautiful, all-merciful names of Gauranga and Krishna and their associates. A little later in his life, he began his studies. He was given the sacred thread. And what a brilliant scholar he became. But his exclusive thirst was to study the scriptures. At that time, when he was just a young boy, that great associate of Lord Chaitanya, Narahari Sarakar, came from Srikanda and met Srinivas in Jajigram. He loved him like a father, blessed him and blessed him and blessed him. From that time, a very, very deep special connection was awakened between Narahari and Srinivas. Srinivas was so eager to hear about Lord Chaitanya. He would ask his father repeatedly to tell him the pastimes of the Lord. And as he'd hear his father speak, Srinivas would be intoxicated. He could not hear enough. Chaitanya Das explained to him about the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, when I was a little boy, he said, I used to hear about this Nimai, but due to my association, I never really understood who he was. But I was always hearing about him. He explained how Nimai became the greatest scholar of Navadvip. Even the Digvijay Pandit Keshav Kashmiri, he came with so many followers, elephants, palanquins and horses, victorious in his debate wherever he went throughout the world. But Nimai, knowing that he was the favorite of Goddess Saraswati, defeated him, smashed all of his pride without hurting his heart. That was a miracle. And how the Digvijay Pandit surrendered to Lord Chaitanya. He told the story of Lord Chaitanya's going to Gaya and taking initiation from Ishwarapuri and serving his guru with great love. And how he came back to Navadvip and established the Harinam Sankirtan movement. And there, along with his devotees, were constantly intoxicating, chanting and dancing throughout the day and night and hearing the glories of Sri Krishna. He explained the power of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda's mercy in the story of Jagai and Madhai. How the Lord performed Nam Sankirtan through the streets of Navadvip to the house of Chankazi, with so many millions and millions of people, most of the demigods from the celestial worlds descended and disguised themselves as ordinary people to participate in this kirtan of Nimai. And how the Kazi surrendered to him. And then he explained, I was hearing these stories. I was yearning and yearning and yearning to see Nimai. And finally, I decided I'm going there. I've surrendered my heart and my life to him. I must go there. I've never seen him. And I was on my way from Chakandigram to Jajigram. And en route to Navadvip, I decided to stop in Katwa. Because Kesha Bharati, from my very childhood, was like a father to me. Whenever I visited him, he just showered affection upon me and always allowed me to be a guest in his ashram. So I decided I will see Keshav Bharati, get his blessings, and then go to Navadvip. But when I was approaching Katwa, I saw thousands of people running to the home of Keshav Bharati. And I asked them, why? What is happening? And they told me, Nimai has come from Navadvip. Lord Gauranga has come to Navadvip, to Katwa. Let us all go see him. So I was running along with the crowds. I was thinking, I have attained the moon in my own hands. But then when I approached, I saw people were weeping and crying. And I asked them, what's happening? And nobody could respond to me. But then I heard someone say to someone else that Nimai has decided to take sannyas, the renounced order of life from Keshav Bharati. And today, that beautiful hair, which is the essence of all beauty, which enchants all hearts, is going to be cut from his head. And there I saw, under a tree on the bank of the Ganges, Nimai ordering the barber to shave his head. And the wailing and the crying filled the whole world. That was my first sight of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As Chaitanya Das was telling Srinivas the story, Srinivas fell to the ground weeping. And Chaitanya Das embraced him and tried to console him and offered him a blessing that may Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu profusely shower his mercy upon you. It was in this way that practically all day, every day, Chaitanya Das would narrate the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and his associates to Chaitanya Das, to Srinivas. And Srinivas, eager, was always asking to hear more. One day Chaitanya Das told to Srinivas that all that I have, including your mother, is now yours. I am giving you everything, and I am going to Vrindavan. Then he began to explain how Rupa and Sanatana Goswami were residing in Vrindavan. He said, when I was a small boy, my teacher brought me to Ramkeli. And there, Rupa and Sanatan, whose names were then Dabir Khas and Sakar Malik, they greeted us and offered us accommodations. They had built a beautiful assembly house where they would invite great pundits, especially from Nadia, to come to discuss the holy scriptures. Rupa and Sanatan, they looked just like Indra in the assembly of the demigods. And when they would recite and speak from the holy scriptures, especially Srimad Bhagavatam, everyone would be enthralled, struck with wonder. And yet they were so humble that even when an ordinary person would come to the assembly hall, they would come down from their seats and welcome them and offer them all services. This was something that really struck my heart, he said. They had such immense wealth, beauty, knowledge, fame, and yet they were humble like the grass and eager to offer all respect to others. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Ramakeli and accepted them as his own and ordered them to go to Vrindavan. And then he explained how Rupa and Sanatan were living in Vrindavan as the very personifications of renunciation and pure love. Soon after this, Chaitanya Das gave up his body and his soul went back to the spiritual world. Lakshmi Priya, his wife, she was so grief-stricken. But as soon as she saw the face of her son Srinivas, all of her grief was forgotten. The mother took her son to make their residence with her father, Balaram Vipra, in Jajigram. There they resided. And Srinivas, day and night, simply searched for the devotees of Lord Chaitanya to hear the glorious pastimes of him. He yearned so deeply to see the form of Lord Chaitanya and to surrender to his lotus feet in a personal way. He decided to go to Jagannath Puri to meet Sri Gauranga. He received his mother's permission. In Sri Kanda, he approached Narahari Sarakar. And Narahari was in a very grave mood. He said, "You must go immediately to Nilachala, because I have heard that Advaitacharya has sent a letter with a Taraja poem, which is breaking our hearts." It was Sri Advaita who invited Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to descend and appear in this world. And now through this poem, Advaitacharya is telling Lord Chaitanya he has fulfilled his mission and now he should return to the spiritual world. "You should go quickly because I feel very soon the Lord will end his pastimes in the world we live." Day and night, Srinivasacharya walked. In his heart, he was constantly praying and hoping, "Will I see that beautiful, beautiful golden form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Will I see him surrounded in the association of all of his loving devotees? Will I meet Gadadhar Pandit and hear him reciting Srimad Bhagavatam before the Lord and the Vaishnavas?" When he approached Jagannath Puri, he saw some travelers just coming from that place. And they looked very despondent. In fact, they looked devastated. And Srinivas asked, you know, please tell me the news. Tell me the news of Lord Chaitanya in Puri. What is happening? They could not speak. But finally, with great efforts, you did not hear? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has left us. He has ended his pastimes on earth. When Srinivasacharya heard that, he fell to the ground. He was overwhelmed. He began beating his head with his fist, pulling his hair out and tearing his chest with his nails, uncontrollably rolling on the ground, and decided, there is no reason to continue his life. I will enter into a lake of fire. In that state, he fell unconscious. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to him. The Lord appeared in such a beautiful form. And he placed his feet on Srinivas's head. And then he disappeared. And when Srinivas came back to consciousness, that only increased the ecstasies of his separation. And he fell unconscious again. And again Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. And this time he spoke. He said, go to Nilachala. Go to Gadadhar Pandit, who was residing at the temple of Gopinath. Gadadhar Pandit is eagerly awaiting for your arrival. He wishes to teach you Srimad Bhagavatam. He's only remaining alive for you. Go. Now, do not delay. And then Lord Chaitanya, with his own loving hands, wiped the tears from Srinivasa's face and disappeared. Srinivasacharya came to Narendra Sarovar, and there he meditated on the wonderful water sports that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would perform there with his devotees. And then he approached the Singhadwaram. By this time it was night, and he rested. At the Singhadwaram, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inspired his heart so deeply. From there, he went to Markandeya Sarovar. He didn't go in the temple. And there he asked, where is Gopinath temple? And someone took him there. And he saw the beautiful form of Tota Gopinath, surrendered his life and worshipped the deity. At that time, one of the assistants ran and told Gadadhar Pandit that Srinivas has come. Gadadhar Pandit said, bring him here. Gadadhar Pandit, he was heaving in the depths of separation. He was immersed in the ocean of separation. Can you just imagine his condition? Just days before Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had disappeared from the world. But when he saw Srinivas, joy blossomed within his heart. He took Srinivas in his lap. Srinivas Acharya was offering his obeisances again and again and again, but he picked him up, placed him on his lap, and embraced him with the love of a father for a child. Gadadhar Pandit told one of his assistants to introduce Srinivas to all the surviving associates of Lord Chaitanya. What blessings Srinivas received They took him to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house. At that time, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Ramananda Rai were sitting together discussing the glories of Lord Chaitanya. He fell at their feet. They picked him up and embraced him and embraced him, and with fatherly love, they blessed him. Then he was taken to the house of Vakreshwar Pandit, and he embraced him like a father to a child and blessed Srinivas that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has told all of us about you. He will perform many wonderful, glorious activities through you. He was taken to see Paramananda Puri, who blessed him, and Sikhi Mahiti. And then he was brought to Lord Chaitanya's two personal servants, Govinda and Shankar Pandit. It cannot be explained, the oceanic sufferings of separation that they were enduring. They were in fire of ecstatic pain in the absence of their Lord. What would they do? Where would they go? It was as if their life had left. In fact, it had. But when they saw Srinivas, joy awakened in their heart. All of these great souls placed their feet on Srinivas's head and embraced him with love. He was brought to the house of Gopinathacharya. But Srinivas was thinking, why am I so sinful that I was born at such a time where I had not seen the Lord? And Swarup Damodar Goswami has already left the world with the Lord, and Raghunath Das Goswami has left Nilachala for Vrindavan. Will I ever see them? At that time, he heard about King Prataparudra, who simply could not speak to anyone. During Lord Chaitanya's life, King Prataparudra enthroned his own son as king, and he just went into bhajan and worship. But now in a secluded place, he was simply weeping in remembrance of the Lord day and night. He went to the Samadhi Mandir of Haridas Thakur and fell there at the feet of Haridas, surrendering his life. And then Gadadhar Pandit sent him to see Lord Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra. After the darshan of the Lord, he returned to Totagopinath temple. Gadadhar Pandit said to him, I wish to teach you Srimad Bhagavatam, but there are so many obstacles in the path of my instructing you. But still I will try. For many days, Gadadhar Pandit gave explanations to Srinivas Acharya on the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam, which utterly illuminated Srinivas's heart. But one day, Gadadhar Pandit said that my book is very old. If you want to learn it properly, you should bring me a new one. Go to Godadesh and bring a new Srimad Bhagavatam. And then he handed the book to Srinivas. Please listen carefully, if you're still awake. Srinivas placed that book on his head as the ultimate supreme treasure of all treasures. This is the Srimad Bhagavatam that every single day for year after year, Gadadhar Pandit would recite before Lord Chaitanya for several hours. And when he looked at the pages of the book, he saw a great wonder that the tears of Gadadhar Pandit and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu upon hearing the Bhagavatam Those tears flowed like endless rivers and soaked the pages of the book. Thus, the writing on every page was smudged in so many places that it was impossible for anyone to read. Srinivasacharya, with unblinking eyes for a very long, long time, simply gazed upon that book with those tears in total speechless state. The confluence of the love of Lord Chaitanya and Gadadhar filled that Srimad Bhagavatam. Gadadhar Pandit said, "Go to Gaudadesh and bring a new Bhagavatam for me, and then you will learn." When Srinivasacharya heard this instruction, it was as if the sky was falling on his head. To leave Gadadhar Pandit, to leave Nilachala. But still, he had no alternative. It was the order given to him. With great difficulty, he said goodbye to all of the devotees. And it was very, very much painful as death for all of them to say farewell to Srinivasacharya. He traveled to Srikanda, where he received a Srimad Bhagavatam from Narahari Sarakar. Actually, he only arrived in Srikanda after walking so long distance, and the next morning he woke up and said, "I'm going back to Nilachala. How will I live without Gadadhar Pandit's darshan? How can I live without his love and affection? I cannot follow his instruction. I'm going back today." Day and night, in great haste, he was moving toward Nilachala. And just in the outskirts, he saw some travelers coming back from the other direction. They were emaciated. It appeared that their entire lives were withering away. He said, "What has happened? Please tell me the news. What is happening in Nilachala?" They could not speak. And then one person told another that, "How will we live? What is the value of this world? Gadadhar Pandit, in his separation from Lord Gauranga, has left us." When Srinivasacharya heard this, he screamed out, "Oh Gauranga, oh Gadadhar, oh Gauranga, oh Gadadhar." He started rolling on the ground, pulling his hair, beating his head, fell unconscious. And when the travelers saw him in this condition, they lamented, "Why? Why did we tell him this news? Why did we have to be the bearers of this news to this poor child?" They tried everything within their powers to console Srinivas, but it was not possible. In his unconscious state, Gadadhar Pandit appeared to Srinivas and tried to speak consoling words to him. But Srinivas could not be pacified. Like a wild man, he went back to Jajigram. And there he was immersed in so much separation. He had concluded that there is no purpose in my life. I cannot sustain my life breath. I do not want to live in this world any longer. And in that state, he fainted. And something wonderful took place. Gaur Gadadhar, Lord Chaitanya and Gadadhar Pandit both appeared before Srinivasacharya. They spoke such words of encouragement. They placed their feet on his head. They lifted him up. They embraced him. No, you cannot leave this world. We have many, many significant services that we are going to perform through you to deliver humanity. Now you go to Navadvip. Visit our associates there. And after Navadvip, go to Vrindavan. As soon as Srinivasacharya came to his external consciousness, immediately he traveled to Navadvip from Jajigram. When he came to the outskirts of Navadvip, he saw some travelers coming from there, and they were in a very, very, very lamentable, pitiable state. And Srinivas didn't even have the power to ask them what happened. But he heard them discussing with each other, what is the value of living in this world? Lord Nityananda and Advaitacharya have left us. Srinivasacharya fell to the ground. Why do I have to live in this wrong time? What sins? What abominable activities, what atrocities have I committed to have to be born now where I'm not able to associate with the Lord and His devotees? Overcome with grief, he gave up on his life. But then Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Prabhu appeared before him. And they spoke that thoughts like this are not right. There are many duties you must perform. And then they placed their feet upon his head. This is significant. What all of these great avatars and acharyas are telling him is that a devotee lives to perform his duty. That is our life. We live to serve the will of the Lord. There should really be no other consideration. For a devotee, no service, there's no spiritual life. Should I continue? I'm sorry if I'm speaking too much, but I'm so shameless I do it anyway. So he entered Navadvip. And when he entered Navadvip, he actually looked and saw something wonderful. He saw right before his eyes in the streets of Navadvip, there was the beautiful Gauranga Mahaprabhu with all of his associates performing Nam Sankirtan and so many pastimes. He was thrilled. He was in bliss. And then the whole scene changed. And everyone was weeping and lamenting in separation. The first person he met, he asked, "Where is Nimai Pandit's house? Please show me, where is Nimai's home?" And he was brought before the house. He gazed at the home of Nimai, Lord Gauranga, like a wooden puppet. He could not move. And then out from the house came Vamsivadana. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally requested Vamsivadana to take care of his widowed wife Vishnupriya for the rest of their lives. Vamsivadana ran and told Vishnupriya Devi that Srinivas has come. Bring him immediately. Vishnupriya told Vamsivadana, that my beloved Lord Gauranga appeared to me and gave me this message that today Srinivas is going to come. He is suffering terribly. Show him your kindness. He is most dear to my heart. When he was brought before Vishnupriya, she placed her lotus feet on top of Srinivasa's head and offered him prasad. And such motherly love. Srinivasacharya becomes so deeply attached to the association of Vishnupriya that he went to see her day after day after day. Vishnupriya had Bamsi Bhadana send him to see the other associates of the Lord. He saw Murari Gupta, Damodar Pandit, Srivas Thakur, Suplambar Brahmachari, Gadadhar Das. They all blessed him and gave him the same message, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu desires you go to Vrindavan. Go now. He left Navadvip and went to Shantipur. There he met Sita Thakurani, the consort of Advaita, who blessed him. May you live a long life, and may you be successful in giving the jewel of pure devotional service to the whole world. From Shantipur, he went to Kadaha, the home of Nityananda Prabhu. And there he met Parameshwari Das, one of the most intimate associates of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who brought him into the house of Nitai, where he was presented before Janava Devi, Vasudha Devi, the two wives of Nityananda Prabhu, and Virachandra, his son. Srinivas offered his obeisances again and again and again, and they placed their lotus feet on his head, encouraged him in so many ways, and showered him with their love. Then Janava Devi said, before you go to Vrindavan, it is very important, you must go to Kanakula Krishna Nagar to visit the great Abhiram Thakur. After taking the blessings of all the devotees in Kadaha, especially Janava, Vasudha, and Birabhadra, he approached Kanakula Krishna Nagar. Abhiram Thakur understood he was coming, and he sent a messenger with 10 coins. They delivered those coins to Srinivas and said, you should purchase some ingredients and cook your lunch, offer it to Krishna and eat it. So Srinivas bought some ingredients, and on the banks of the Darukeshwara River, he cooked a nice little prasad and offered it to Krishna. And when he was just about to eat, Abhiram Thakur told 4 of his associates, go to the bank of Darukeshwar and we will see one young boy. Go meet him. Abhiram was watching. So the 4 of them went, and immediately, Srinivas was so happy. He didn't know who they were. They were just strangers. He offered obeisances to them again and again. Then he sat them down and fed him all his prasad. And he hadn't eaten in days. He passed the test. Abhiram Thakur wanted to test him. Who is worthy of receiving his mercy? One who is the selfless, selfless servant of the servant of the servant. That is the person that is entitled to receive the Lord's mercy. Abhiram was very pleased,
And he personally called for Srinivas. And Srinivas came and offered his obeisances, and Abhiram picked up his whip, Jai Mangal, to reward him for passing the test. And he touched him with that whip. He wouldn't whip, he would just touch. That's all that was required. And anyone who was touched by Jai Mangala, their hearts would erupt with ecstatic love of Krishna. So he touched him once, and Srinivas just began to weep in ecstasy with symptoms manifesting in his body. Then he touched him again, and it increased. And then he touched him a third time, and it increased more. And he was about to touch him a fourth time. And his wife, Malini, she called out, Abhiram Gopal, Abhiram, stop, stop. He's only a child. If you touch him again, he will become so overwhelmed with intoxication of ecstatic love of God, he will not be able to perform his duties for the Lord.
Abhiram Thakur embraced him,
showered fatherly affection upon him,
and then he and his wife Malini brought Srinivas and offered him at the feet of their worshipable deity, Sri Radha Gopinath.
Then, and told him,
go to Vrindavan without delay. He went back to Yajigram and there met his mother, who was a pure-hearted devotee, and begged her permission to go to Vrindavan. She did not want him to go. It was heartbreaking. If he goes to Vrindavan, will I ever see him again? But at the same time, she had no power to forgive, to forbid him, because his desire was so strong. Lakshmi Priya blessed him, and he proceeded to Ekachakra. In Ekachakra, he wandered through all the holy places meditating on the childhood pastimes of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And Nityananda Prabhu revealed such treasures of beautiful darshans to him there. He visited Gaya, where he meditated on Mahaprabhu's initiation from Ishwarapuri. Then he went to Kashi, or first he went to Prayag. And in Prayag, he meditated on the instructions Mahaprabhu gave to Rupa Goswami, and how he flooded the whole Prayag with Nam Sankirtan. He went to Kashi and meditated upon Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu converting Prakasananda Saraswati and all the Mayavadis, and how he inundated the entire Kashi with the tumultuous roar of millions of people chanting the holy names. He meditated on the Lord instructing Sanatan Goswami for 2 months on the bank of the Ganges. Then he went to Ayodhya and meditated on the wonderful Leela of his Lord Gauranga in his previous incarnation as Lord Ram and Nityananda as Lakshman. And then he approached Mathura. When he went to Mathura, he bathed at Vishram Ghat. And there he heard some of the local residents speaking amongst one another in great sorrow. How unfortunate are we? How unfortunate is this entire world? that Lord Chaitanya has disappeared. And here in Vrindavan, unable to tolerate separation from Lord Chaitanya, Kashishwar Pandit disappeared. And then Raghunath Bhat Goswami disappeared. And then Sanatan Goswami disappeared. And now, just a few days before, Rupa Goswami has left the world. Srinivas Acharya was beyond himself in grief. He fell to the ground, weeping and crying. Unable to even maintain his consciousness, he fell into a fainted state. One Brahmin embraced him and tried to console him in every possible way, but it was not possible. But then Rupa and Sanatan appeared to him. They placed their feet on his head and spoke, "O child, do not lament. You have a great mission before you. You should know that we are non-different from Gopal Bhatta Goswami. You should go to him and take mantra initiation. And then learn the books that we have written from Sri Jiva Goswami. It is our wish, it is Lord Chaitanya's wish, that you distribute our books throughout Goda Desh." And they disappeared. At the same time, Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami appeared to Sri Jiva Goswami and told him that today Srinivas has entered Vrindavan. During the evening aarti at Govindadev Temple, meet him there, pacify him, arrange for him to take initiation from Gopal Bhatta Goswami. You should give your life to teaching him Lord Chaitanya's teachings, and then send him with our books to Goda Desh. Srinivas Acharya entered Vrindavan. He was thrilled to see the forest. Kadamba trees, tamal trees, the river Yamuna. There were peacocks and peahens dancing together and calling out. Cuckoo birds and other such auspicious birds were singing. There were cows mooing and deers roaming around, glancing in all directions with their beautiful eyes. He went to Govindadev. At that time, it was just a simple temple. The large temple was still under construction. And when he saw the beauty of Govindadev, he was so overwhelmed. He had come to Vrindavan, but he had missed Rupa and Sanatan. He sat in a corner of the temple. And there, in lamentation, he fell unconscious and woke up in the lap of Sri Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami brought him to Radha Damodar temple. By that time it was late at night and Radha Damodar was already resting. Jiva Goswami gave Srinivas a very private room in a secluded place. It was then the full moon night of Vaishakh. And Srinivas did not sleep that night. He simply looked at the beautiful moon in the forest of Vrindavan, charmed by the scene. In the morning, Jiva Goswami brought him before Sri Radha Damodar. The deity was personally carved by the hands of Sri Rupa Goswami and worshipped by him. Out of his love for his disciple, Rupa Goswami entrusted the care of Radha Damodar to Jiva Goswami. And he performed so many pastimes for the pleasure of his devotee. Sometimes he would say to Jiva Goswami, "I want to eat." And Jiva Goswami would cook for him. Even if it wasn't the proper time, he would cook for him. And then the deity would speak, "Come and see me eat." And Jiva Goswami would come and actually with his own eyes seeing Radha Damodar eating the prasad. Another day, Jiva Goswami heard a flute playing. A mystifying, beautiful flute that intoxicated his heart. And then he heard Damodar speaking, "Come, come and see me playing my flute." And he came before Damodar, who was dancing before him playing his flute. In this way, Damodar was the very life and soul of Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami then brought Srinivas to meet with Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who was sitting in a lonely place, meditating in great separation on Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, who have left him. But when he saw Srinivas, he became so happy, because he knew the Lord sent him. He embraced him. Srinivasa fell at his feet again and again and again and again. And Gopal Bhatta, as the ultimate expression of his love, brought him before Sri Radharaman. And the story of Radharaman was told to Srinivas. Gopal Bhatta was a very great devotee of Sri Radha Govinda Dev, Rupa Goswami's deity. But Lord Chaitanya personally told him that he must see Krishna in his Shalagram Shiva. And then Lord Chaitanya spoke to Rupa Goswami to speak to Gopal Bhatta. Rupa Goswami said, "It is the Lord's desire that you worship Shalagram. I know that you have dedicated your life and your soul and your everything to Sri Govindadev, but Lord Chaitanya's desire is that you worship him in a separate form." So he worshipped a Shalagram Shila. And by the mercy of Rupa Goswami, according to our Shastras, something wonderful happened. Sometimes, as he'd worshiping a Shalagram, he would go to Govindadev temple and just pray to him in deep, deep separation. And one day, the day after Narasingha Chaturdasi, he was really thinking he wanted to offer so many gifts to the deity of Govindadev, but he had his Shalagram. He couldn't offer ornaments and crowns and clothes to Shalagram. So after coming from taking his bath in Yamuna, the Shalagram Shila had manifested the beautiful form of Sri Radharaman. According to Bhakti Ratnakar, it was the mercy of Rupa Goswami that made this happen. And Radharaman, so special. His feet looked just like the feet. They were non-different from the feet of Madan Mohan. His chest was non-different than Gopinath. And his beautiful face was non-different than Radha Govinda.
In this way, all of Gopal Bhatta Goswami's desires were fulfilled.
Radharaman appeared to this world to enchant the hearts of all those who come before him. And Gopal Bhatta Goswami worshipped him with such love and devotion. But one day he was lamenting. Because when Lord Chaitanya was in Sri Rangam during his South Indian tour, he ordered Gopal to serve his father. And before his father left this world, he ordered him to always worship Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. So he was thinking, I am worshipping the deity of Krishna, but it is the Lord's order and my father's order that I worship Lord Chaitanya. So as he was thinking this way, he was gazing at the beautiful face of Sri Radharaman, who suddenly manifested the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then Gopal Bhatta Goswami understood that Radharaman is non-different and Mahaprabhu is personally accepting my devotional service through the deity of Sri Radharaman.
He met with Lokanath Goswami, Bhugarabha Goswami. Jiva Goswami was taking him to see all the various samadhis. The Samadhi of Rupa Goswami, the Samadhi of Sanatana Goswami. He brought him to the temple of Radha Gopinath where he met Paramananda Goswami and Madhu Pandit. And then on an auspicious day in the Radharaman temple, he took initiation, formal diksha from Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And the whole Braj Bhumi was so excited about this that many, many people came to attend, and there was a glorious festival for the initiation of Srinivas. He became famous throughout the land as the disciple of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Gopal Bhatta Goswami, after giving him the initiation mantras, brought him to the feet of Radharaman and offered him and blessed him. May you attain all perfections. Jiva Goswami then sent Srinivas to Radha Kund, where Raghunath Das Goswami, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, and Sri Raghava Goswami just showered immense love and affection upon him. And then he returned to Radha Damodar Temple, where he began his studies. He was an extraordinary student. An example. Jiva Goswami was writing a commentary on Rupa Goswami's Ujjvala Nilamani. And there was a particular passage that he was having a difficult time explaining. So he asked Srinivas, his student, if he could explain. And Srinivas meditated on Rupa Goswami, and Rupa Goswami actually appeared in his heart and empowered him with the full understanding. Srinivas Acharya explained it in such a wonderful way that even today you will find in Jiva Goswami's commentary the explanation given by his student Srinivas. Seeing his humility, his devotion, his service attitude, and his very deep scholarship, Jiva Goswami approached all the Vaishnavas and the Goswamis and asked their permission to give him the title Acharya. With the blessings and permission of all the Goswamis, Sri Jiva Goswami gave him the name Srinivas Acharya. Srinivas Acharya was very shy to accept such a title. He would never call himself that. But yet Jiva Goswami and all the other Goswamis would only call him that, Srinivas Acharya. And thus it became
his name.
See how great souls, they never want title. They never want position. It is bestowed upon them. Sometimes practically forced upon them. Srinivasacharya, when he was young, actually, when he was in Vrindavan, he heard so many of the devotees talking about Narottam. A prince from Kethuri Gram, who was a very great devotee. People of Vrindavan were talking about it. He had rejected wealth, power, and prestige. And now is on his way to Vrindavan. Srinivas was just longing to see him. He was praying in his heart, if I ever see this Narottam, I will never be able to give up his association. The next day, actually, what happened is one day he was in such deep separation from Narottam, longing to meet him. And Rupa Goswami appeared to Srinivasacharya and told him, tomorrow you will meet Narottam. And the next day, the great Narottam appeared. Narottam fell at the feet of Srinivasacharya, and Srinivasacharya picked him up and embraced him. They both soaked each other with love. They became famous throughout all Brajbhumi for their deep, intimate, loving friendship with each other. They were inseparable. Narottam served Lokanath Goswami for some time and ultimately accepted initiation from him. And Narottam and Srinivasacharya both studied together under Jiva Goswami. And seeing his super excellent devotional qualities, Jiva Goswami approached. Actually, Jiva Goswami, when he met Narottam, he said that you are my two eyes and my two arms. And after getting the permission of the assembled Vaishnavas, he awarded Narottam the titled Thakur Mahashoy. And from that day on, although he did not call himself, he was very ashamed to receive this title. But everyone in Braj and all Vaishnavas throughout the world from that day, they addressed him as Narottam Das Thakur Mahashoy. One day Jiva Goswami desired that they see the holy places of Braj Bhumi. And just when he was thinking that way, Sri Raghava Goswami from Govardhan had appeared. Sri Raghava Goswami was an extraordinary person. He was a Vaishnava for South India who came to Vrindavan and lived in a cave at Govardhan. Govardhan Hill was his life, his soul, his everything. He was an intimate associate who would spend many, many days at a time with Raghunath Das Goswami, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. And it was one of his very, very pleasing forms of worship to do the parikram of all of Braj Mandala. And he was an authority. He came into Radha Damodar temple and said to Jiva Goswami, I am just beginning a parikram of Braj. And Jiva Goswami said, please bring Narottam Das, Thakur, and Srinivasacharya along with you. That is a glorious story. Much of our Braj Mandala Parikrama is revealed through this particular tour. He first took him to Mathura, where they bathed in Vishram Ghat, and he went to the temple of Keshavji, Krishna's birthplace. And he explained, this is where Subhuti Rai was living. And he told the whole this is how he began the parikrama, by explaining the glories of this great servant of the servant of the servant, Subhuti Rai, who constantly chanted the holy names and did the most menial services for all the Vaishnavas. And he took Narottama and Srinivas Acharya through all the 12 forests of Vrindavan with beautiful explanations. When they returned, one day Srinivas Acharya spoke to Narottam Das Thakur. He said, something very auspicious is going to happen. My right eye and my right hand are vibrating. And not only that, I just feel so much bliss in my heart. I believe we're going to meet some great Vaishnav. And Narottam said, I have heard that Duki Krishna is on his way. Duki Krishna was a disciple of Hridaya Chaitanya, who was a disciple of Goridas Pandit, who worshipped the famous Gornitai deities in Ambika Kalna. He accepted initiation from his guru, and his guru sent him to Vrindavan to study under Jiva Goswami. When Duki Krishna arrived in Brajbhumi, he entered into the forest and traveled around, and ultimately he came to Govardhan in Radhakund. And Raghunath Das Goswami accepted him as his own guest and gave him all hospitality, fatherly, spiritual, loving affection. Raghunath Das Goswami blessed him for many days and then sent him to Vrindavan. And when he came to Sri Radha Damodar temple, he, Srinivas Acharya and Narottam Das Thakur, with the blessings of Jiva Goswami, established their eternal historical loving relationship. It is written, the nature of Srinivas Acharya's love. But before telling that, it should be known that by the blessings of Srimati Radharani and Jiva Goswami, he conferred upon Duki Krishna the name Shyamananda Goswami. Today I told Shyamananda Prabhu that I would speak about Shyamananda in class. So that my words are not untrue, I have added that. Right. One day, Krishna wanted to reveal the power of the love of Srinivas Acharya. One day, Srinivas was in a secluded place, meditating on the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya in Navadvip. In his meditation, it wasn't just an artificial imposition of concentrating on certain things in our mind. He would just surrender himself in meditation, and the Lord would actually appear and perform leelas in his mind. You cannot imitate that. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Navadvip, surrounded by his associates. His beautiful, beautiful golden form just intoxicated the whole world with love. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was performing wonderful kirtan. He saw in Navadvip that all the six seasons were manifested simultaneously. In the center of Navadvip, he saw Sri Mayapur Dham. And there was Lord Chaitanya surrounded by his associates.
radiant like millions of suns. And then Lord Chaitanya called Srinivas Acharya to him. And Srinivas Acharya anointed all the limbs of Lord Chaitanya's body with fresh scented sandalwood pulp. Then he offered Lord Chaitanya a garland that he made with his own hands. And then with a chamara fan, he was fanning Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And as he was gazing upon the beautiful face of Lord Gauranga while fanning him with chamara, his heart was just overflowing with ecstatic love. And that love that he had in his heart was felt by Lord Chaitanya, who picked up the garland off of his own neck that Srinivas gave to him, and Lord Chaitanya placed that garland on Srinivas Acharya's neck. That garland was so surcharged with mercy that it just jolted Srinivas with ecstasies, and he came out of his meditation. And when he came out of his meditation, sitting in that lonely place in Vrindavan, the garland was around his body. The garland of meditation was around his body. But you know what he did? Immediately he took it off and hid it so nobody would know what happened. This is Vaishnav.
Vaishnav never wants to publicly demonstrate to people his advancement or the special mercy he has received.
In his humility, he was ashamed for people to see it and hid it very privately.
On another day, it was in the springtime, he was sitting in a lonely place, meditating on a particular village of Vrindavan called Pagutala, where Radha and Krishna would perform holi. And there he went into a deep meditation. And in his meditation, the Leela of the Lord manifested. He saw beautiful kadamba trees, a wonderful forest. And in that forest, Radha and Krishna were assembled with the gopis. Then Brinda Devi arrived with thousands of her maidservants, bringing syringes and bowls of fragrant, bright-colored powders. And she also brought many, many musical instruments of drums and veenas and string and horns and bells. And the gopis were playing these beautiful, sweet instruments. And Radharani was decorating Krishna with scented powders. And Krishna was like a monsoon cloud showering all the gopis with profuse colors. And one of the gopis asked Srinivas, who was actually in his eternal form as Mani Manjari in this Leela. Krishna revealed his eternal form as Mani Manjari. And the gopi said, bring Radharani more colors. She needs more to offer to Krishna. So he was supplying more and more colors to Srimati Radharani. And because he was in the crossfire, he was covered with the colors himself. And after the holy, Radha and Krishna sat in a beautiful kunja. And Srinivas Acharya, in his eternal form of a gopi, was fanning them with a chamara fan. And after all his services were complete, he came out of his meditation. But when he came out, he saw that his body was completely covered with the colors of holi. And you know what that looks like. But he couldn't take them off. They were those types of colors. He wanted to hide it from the other Vaishnavas, but he could not. Everyone saw and everyone understood exactly the power of Srinivas Acharya's love. Should I give another example? Are you awake? Srinivasacharya and Narottam Das Thakur would travel around Vrindavan from time to time. One time they were at Govardhan, and they've heard a flute playing, a sweet, enchanting flute song from a cave. So Narottam and Srinivas entered that cave, and suddenly there was an overwhelming fragrance that was so ambrosially sweet that they both fainted. And then they both came back to consciousness, and there was a beautiful little cowherd boy sitting with a stick and a turban. And Srinivasacharya asked, "Who are you and from where have you come from? How did you know we're here in this cave?" And the cowherd boy said that, "You are in a very dangerous situation. You do not know the dangers of this place. But I'm a gopa. I herd cows here. I know the dangers of this place. I was herding my cows along with my companions when I saw from a distance that you were unconscious in this cave. So just to protect you, I have been standing here with my stick. But now that you are conscious, there's no need for me to stay here any longer. I must go back to tend the cows." And he left. So Narottam and Srinivas sat under a tree, wondering, who was that? What was that? We could not understand his identity. But something's happening inside of us. And then they fell asleep. And simultaneously, that same little cowherd boy appeared to them. He had a threefold bending form and a peacock feather decorating his turban, and he was playing his flute, and he told them that, "I am your worshipable Lord. It was my flute that attracted you to that cave, and it was the fragrance of my body that made you faint in ecstasy, and it was me that protected you in your unconscious state. You wanted to see me, but you did not recognize me. So I have appeared before you again just to make you happy. Now be happy." And they were very happy. Another day they visited Raghunath Das Goswami at Radha Kund. And Narottam Das Thakur and Srinivasacharya were thinking, "Let us go to Surya Kund, because that is where Srimati Radharani worships Suryadev every day at about noon. Let us go." Actually, it's about 4 o'clock they go there. "Let us go." So they were walking, and just in the outskirts of Surya Kund, they heard ankle bells jingling. It was so sweet, so melodious. They looked around in all directions, and there was nothing and no one around. But somehow or other, the song of these ankle bells created such love, such devotion, such ecstasy in their hearts that they knew exactly whose ankle bells they were. In this way, Srinivasacharya, Narottam Das Thakur, and Shyamananda spent many years in Vrindavan. Then all the Goswamis met together and decided it was the time to send the books to Bengal. The Goswamis all assembled together, along with the three illustrious students of Jiva Goswami at Govinda Mandir. Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Lokanath Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Bhugarbha Goswami, they were all there. And they prayed to Sri Radha Govinda to bless them in their mission. And as they were all praying, Govinda's flower garland fell to the ground. The pujari picked it up and put it around the neck of Srinivasacharya. And everyone became overjoyed with happiness. Jiva Goswami then arranged for a merchant from Mathura to bring a cart with oxen. And then Jiva Goswami took all the literatures of Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, all of his own literatures, Jiva Goswami's literatures.
And he wrapped them up in four different bundles and then had a box made. And there was a special ceremony. As they placed each book in the box, Jiva Goswami would announce to all the assembled devotees the title of the book he was putting in. According to our historians, many say this was the only copies of the books in all of the world.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally empowered Rupa and Sanatan to write these books for all time to come.
And this was the book, the original manuscripts with no copies. How precious, how sacred.
Jiva Goswami, with great love and reverence, would place the book on his head and then put it in the box, announcing to the devotees, "This is Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu," and all the devotees would roar.
Much louder than that.
"This is Rupa Goswami's Upadeshamrita Vidagdha Madhava Lalita Madhava Ujvala Nilamani Stavamala."
In this way.
"And this is Sanatan Goswami's Hari Bhakti Vilas Brihad Bhagavatamrita."
It was a glorious ceremony.
Then Jiva Goswami sent the three acharyas to get the blessings of all the deities, samadhis, and Vaishnavas. They traveled throughout Braj. They went to Radhakund, and Raghunath Das Goswami was in so much agony thinking that they were going to leave Braj. "But it is the mission of the Lord. I bless you. You must go." They went to Lokanath Goswami, and Lokanath Goswami gave instructions to his disciple Narottam Das Thakur that you should spread Nam Sankirtan. You should preach even to the most fallen and wicked. You should teach the Goswami's literature, and you should establish deity worship and show the world the proper way of worshipping the form of the Lord in the temple and make disciples. He only had one disciple, Narottam Das Thakur, but he ordered Narottam to make thousands and thousands of disciples. They went to Bhugarbha Goswami and Madhu Pandit. They saw the deities and samadhis. Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivasacharya, and Shyamananda Goswami were so brokenhearted that they were going to leave their gurus and their lords to leave Vrindavan. They were lamenting bitterly, "Will we ever see them again?" At that time, please listen carefully, this is very, very special. Sri Radha Govinda Dev appeared in a vision to Srinivasacharya. He saw the deity of Govinda Dev come right out of the temple. And he appeared before him and told him, "Stop lamenting. You are the personification of spiritual love. Through Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis, I have revealed the intimate desires of my heart. And through you, I will distribute these books."
I will give you all the power required to do so. And in this way, your mission will be a success. These books will travel throughout the entire world. They are the greatest treasure of love. I will empower you to have many, many disciples. And with your disciples, you will taste the sweetness of Nam Sankirtan. And then Sri Govinda Dev manifested the form of Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And Srinivasacharya was looking at him unblinkingly, praying, wishing that he had tens and millions of eyes to see this form. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Srinivasacharya, who was fallen at his feet, and blessed him to begin the journey. Just at that time, one great Vaishnav named Vija Haridas approaches Srinivasacharya. Should I continue? Vija Haridas, he told him that when you go to Bengal, you should give mantra initiation to my two sons, Sridas and Gokulananda. Srinivasacharya was stunned. He had no inclination or thought of giving anyone initiation. He was just servant of the servant of his Gurudev. When Vija Haridas saw that, he was stunned. He told him, "You do not know the power that you have. You do not know how Lord Chaitanya is going to use you as an instrument of his mercy. You must initiate my sons. Do not be ashamed and do not be in anxiety." The story of Vija Haridas, he was a personal associate of Lord Chaitanya. When Lord Chaitanya disappeared from the world, Vija Haridas was decided to just fast and end his life. But Lord Chaitanya appeared to him in a vision and told him, "I want your two sons to take initiation from Srinivasacharya. He is none different than me. He is the personification of my love. You should know this for sure. He will be going to Vrindavan. So you should go to Vrindavan and you should wait for him. And when he comes to and you should inform him that he must initiate your sons when he goes to Bengal. Go to Desh." This is the quality of a devotee. Never ambitious. Simply surrendered to the order and the blessings of the great Vaishnavas. On an auspicious time, all the Brijabasis and all the Goswamis assembled together near Radha Govinda temple, where the procession began. There was the cart, the oxen, there was Brijabasi guards, and other devotees were joining for protection. And most of the Goswamis actually followed him all the way to Mathura. They couldn't give up the association. And finally, after a few days in Mathura of speaking Hari Katha, they began their journey to Bengal. Jiva Goswami and the other Goswamis followed them for some distance and then embraced them and sent them on their way.
So now I will begin class.
The introduction is complete.
They traveled through many, many provinces with absolutely no difficulty. Everything was going so smooth. And then they came into Gaudadesh. And they came to one village in the kingdom of Van Vishnupuram. It was a large village. And in the outskirts of that village, they decided to rest for the evening. First, they took prasad. Then they talked about Krishna for half the night. And then, mystically, they all fell into deep sleep. There was a king of the name Birambir, who was a ruthless, vicious dacoit. And he had other dacoits that would regularly rob people and even kill people to build up his treasury. So an astrologer told these dacoits that there's a wealthy merchant who has a box on an ox cart, and there is an enormously valuable treasure of jewels in that box. So the dacoits went and told the king. He was very joyful. He said, immediately, get that box for me, but make sure you do not kill anyone in this expedition. Somehow he said like that. So these dacoits were determined. It was the king's order. And for several days they followed, but they had no chance. There was no opportunity to rob them. So one night, that night, when all the devotees were going to go to sleep, they had spies watching. And just to make everything as auspicious as possible, they worshipped the goddess Bhagavati, or Durga, by slaughtering several goats and buffaloes and offering her their blood and flesh. Now everything was very auspicious in their idea. And slowly, slowly, slowly they came through the forest, and everyone was sleeping. So very quickly, very quietly, they took the ox cart and went into the forest and went deeper, deeper, deeper into the forest. And by the end of the night, they had arrived at Van Vishnupuram. Now, please listen to this with rapt attention. Very proudly, they brought the box of jewels before the king. And the king was very happy. He awarded them by giving them all sorts of gifts and praise. But the people of Van Vishnupuram were disgusted. They hated their king. They were thinking in their minds, what nonsense dacoit is our king? He's vicious, he's cruel, he's a murderer, he loots and robs innocent people, he's sin personified. And now look what he's done. A person going from the western provinces is on his way to Nilachala to offer something to Jagannath, perhaps, and the king robs him. He's a pious pilgrim, and he's been robbed by the king. This king is so sinful, he will go to hell forever. This is why we were talking. And some other people were thinking that the whole city of Van Vishnupuram will be destroyed because of this ultimate sin committed by our king. And somebody else said, but I heard about Lord Chaitanya, how he delivered Jagai and Madhai, and they were more sinful than the king. But somebody said, but Lord Chaitanya disappeared from the world. And somebody else said, but if a great devotee gives his mercy to the king,
the power of the mercy of a Vaishnava is so great that is his only hope to save him from hell. Hare Krishna. The king came before that box and his heart was just so full of envy and greed. He opened the box and saw books. Those books were so powerful that just upon seeing the books, his heart became completely purified. For the first time in his entire life, he felt humility. He began to cry, repentant of all of his previous sins. His life was transformed. And then he turned to the astrologer and he said, "What calculation did you make for this box?" And he said, My king, I'm sorry, but according to all calculations, the most precious jewels in all the world were in this box, not books. And the king said, "Your calculation was correct. The greatest treasure of the greatest value in all creation is come in the form of these books." And then King Birambir began to lament. He called the dacoits. He said, "You didn't kill anyone, did you? To get these books, to get this box, I ordered you not to hurt anyone. Tell me the truth. If you lie to me, you will be punished. Tell me the truth. Did you cause any harm to any of the people who own these books?" They said, "No, king. Tell the truth." "No, king. You gave us the order. We took that on your head." They were all fast asleep. Nobody even knew we took them. And then the king spoke to his associates. "Whoever is the owner of these books is such a great saint. And I have offended. I have stolen his wealth from him. He's going to become angry upon me and destroy me with the fire of his curse. If ever I meet this person, I vow that I will surrender my life to him. I long and yearn to meet the owner of these books." He lamented terribly, praying for the mercy of the owner of the books. In his mind, all of his previous sins were coming before him, and he was weeping in shame, begging for forgiveness. Praying for the mercy of this unknown saint. In such lamentation, he fell unconscious. And a personality appeared to him in a dream with a golden form and told him that this saint, who is the owner of these books, is very merciful in the core of his heart toward you. You are his eternal servant, and he will deliver you. The king woke up with hope. Meanwhile, at the scene of the crime, the devotees woke up and went to begin their journey. There was no ox cart. There was no box with the books. It was a
thunderbolt devastating their hearts. They were running in all directions looking for the box of books. Please understand, these were the exclusive copies of all the books of the Goswamis, meant for the deliverance of the whole world. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu only wrote 8 verses. He empowered the Goswamis of Vrindavan to write these books. He instructed Sanatan Goswami for 2 months with the knowledge. He instructed Rupa Goswami at Prayag and embraced him and empowered his heart to understand his innermost realizations. And they were all manifested in these books. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he was so old. Chaitanya Charitamrita was in that box. And they were responsible to print them, copy them, and distribute them. And now, they're gone. They were running this way, that way, in all directions, searching, searching. But the books could not be found. Narottam Das Thakur, he just cried out, "We have failed. There is no power for me to go on living. I must give up my life." Shyamananda Goswami was crying out, "Today only I will enter into a lake of fire and end my life." And Srinivasacharya, who had the ultimate responsibility in this whole mission, felt as if his heart was ripped into millions and millions of shreds. They were devastated. All they could do is lay on the ground and weep for a long time. It was hopeless. But then a voice appeared in the sky and spoke to Srinivas. "Go to Van Vishnupuram. In the king's palace you will find the books." Srinivasacharya then instructed Narottam Das Thakur to go to Kethuri to fulfill the orders of Lokanath Goswami and Mahaprabhu. And he ordered Shyamananda Goswami to go to Kethuri with him, and from there to go Ambika Kalna, and then spread the treasure of Lord Chaitanya's mercy throughout Orissa. It was a very deep, intimate, and sorrowful episode when they left each other. Srinivasacharya, all alone, so fearless, entered into the kingdom of the notorious King Birambir. While he was walking, there was one Brahmin named Krishna Ballabha who saw Srinivasacharya and was so attracted by his humble qualities that invited him home and gave him prasad. Should I continue? On the subject of prasad, it's time for prasad. Srinivasacharya inquired from Sri Krishna Ballabha everything about the king and Birambir in Van Vishnupuram. And he heard about the nefarious, notorious, wicked deeds of the king. But he also heard that every day the king would hear from the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srinivasacharya found out the time of the reading, and he came in right at that time. When King Virambir saw Srinivasacharya, in his heart of hearts, he felt, "This is my guru. This is the owner of the books.
This is the saint who will deliver me of all my sins.
He offered Srinivasacharya a very esteemed seat of honor. And he was about to inquire from Srinivasacharya about him, and Srinivasacharya said, "I will not answer any questions at this time. Just read from the Bhagavatam, and after the reading, if you have any questions about Srimad Bhagavatam, then I will answer." The Srimad Bhagavatam recital carried on for a short time. And then King Virumbir, very eager to hear from this saint, said, "Can you explain what we have heard in these passages today?" Srinivasacharya asked, "What part of the Bhagavatam would you like me to speak from?" "Speak from the Brahmar Gita, the song of the black bumblebee, to Sri Radharani and Gopis in separation from Krishna." Srinivasacharya spoke on that subject according to the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with the philosophy of Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis. He spoke as he had learned from Sri Jiva Goswami, and everyone, including Vyasacharya, the pundit of the whole court, they were struck with wonder. They had never heard such an explanation before. As Srinivasacharya was eloquently describing the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, everyone's heart was melted. And King Virumbir came off of his throne weeping tears of repentance and fell again and again and again in full prostrations at the feet of Srinivasacharya and surrendered his life. King Virumbir inquired from Srinivasacharya. Actually, first, he brought him to a secluded place in his inner chambers, and he asked Srinivasacharya, "Why have you come here?" Srinivasacharya replied that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He has descended from his abode into this world to shower his causeless mercy upon all. He revealed his Vrindavan pastimes for humanity. That same Krishna has descended in this age of Kali as Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu to teach the world by his example and by his teachings the only proper method of realizing our love for Krishna through Nam Sankirtan. Lord Chaitanya spoke his teachings to Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami, Gopal Bhatt Goswami, Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, and Jiva Goswami. He empowered them with his message of compassion to the world. Rupa and Sanatan were the prime ministers and home ministers of Bengal. They had mass wealth, mass power, mass prestige. They were strong and beautiful, but they renounced everything to go to Vrindavan to live as the most austere renunciates. They revealed the holy places of Vrindavan. And through them, Lord Chaitanya revealed his message and one insignificant fallen soul, myself, was asked to take the only copies of their most precious treasure of books and distribute them in Bengal. But those books were stolen. We looked everywhere. We could not find them. Srinivasacharya was overwhelmed with emotion. His voice was choking. His eyes were weeping. That my heart is torn apart in shreds. I have lost all the books of the Goswamis. King Birambir, floods of tears flowed from his eyes. He fell at the feet of Srinivasacharya and cried out, I am the thief! I am the thief! I have stolen those books! And then he brought Srinivasacharya into the room where the box was. Srinivasacharya offered his repeated dandavats to that box. When he opened the box, he saw the most precious eternal jewels in all of creation, the books of the Goswamis. Srinivasacharya worshipped those books. He performed arati to those books. He offered garlands to the books. He placed every book to his head and his heart with love. Can you imagine? After Vipralamba from the Goswami's Vani, which is non-different from their personal association, he was reunited. King Birambir and all of his royal court were beside themselves with joy to see Srinivasacharya with love and ecstatic devotion worshipping the holy books. King Birambir bathed the feet of Srinivasacharya with the tears from his heart. And Srinivasacharya gave the king of an instruction. Would you like to hear? He said, on this day, O king, I offer you to the lotus feet of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Always consider yourself a great offender, and in that mood, constantly chant the holy name. I will teach you the message of the books of the Goswamis. And when you are ready, I will give you initiation. King Birambir surrendered his life. Do you know what happened at that time? The whole kingdom became disciples of Srinivasacharya. The king made laws. Everyone in the kingdom had to chant a quota of rounds of Mahamantra every day. Hare Krishna. And he stopped all worship of the demigods by offering animals to them, which was rampant in his kingdom. That was the only religion. It's just slaughtering animals and offering to the demigods. He banned it. Actually, he didn't even have to ban it. He just discouraged it, and everyone stopped. And he actually Srinivasacharya was his life, his soul, his everything. He couldn't make a decision without Srinivasacharya's blessings. He became so humble. In this way, the whole kingdom was devotees. King Birhambir appealed to Srinivasacharya that the Goswamis in Vrindavan, they must be dying knowing that the books were lost. Please send a message to Jiva Goswami that they're found, that they're here, that they're safe, and that you're happy. So Jiva Goswami sent all of his associates who came with him from Vrindavan back to Vrindavan with the good news. And he remained alone in Vanavishnupuram. And then he sent a letter to Narottam Das Thakur in Khetri. Shyamananda Goswami was still there in Khetri with Narottam Das Thakur. And when they received that letter, they were so happy. Srinivasacharya told the whole story of everything that happened. And Narottam Das Thakur, through that messenger who brought the letter, sent a letter not only to Srinivasacharya, but a personal letter to the king. And this letter was so encouraging, so full of affection, so beautiful, that when the king read that letter, his heart melted. He cried and started just calling out to Srinivasacharya, "When will I meet this Narottam Das? When will I meet him? He has stolen my heart." And then the queen, when the queen saw the books, she surrendered to Srinivasacharya and Krishna. And she said, "I heard you got a letter. Please let me read this letter." When he showed the letter, his queen wept incessant tears together. For hours and hours and hours, they just discussed the mercy of Srinivasacharya and the Vaishnavas. Srinivasacharya became the guru of the kingdom. And for some time, every day in the court of the king, he was instructing. The king offered him beautiful palaces, but he lived in one little straw hut in the outskirts. But every day he would come to teach and transform their hearts. One day, Srinivasacharya exclaimed, "I will go to Srikanda." And King Birhambir, it was a great blow to him. He said, "You have rescued this most sinful demon. If you leave this place, then the whole kingdom of Vanavishnupuram will become a deserted forest of sin. You are our only hope. You cannot leave. You must stay." But Srinivasacharya said, "I must perform my duty. I will come back." And when the queen heard that Srinivasacharya was going to leave, she approached him along with her husband, and she offered him so much devotion, so much surrender, that Srinivasacharya, who is the very crest jewel of all renunciation, of all renunciates, his heart melted. He was overwhelmed by the devotion of the queen. Bidding farewell to all of his followers, he departed for Jajigram, where after many, many years, he met his loving, pure-hearted mother, Lakshmi Priya. When the news came that he was returning, Lakshmi Priya, who was very old at the time, were standing at the pathway, just looking down the road, waiting for her son for hours and hours and hours. And when she saw him on the horizon coming, just tears of motherly love, her hairs were standing on end. Again, she was going to be united with her only child, Srinivas. Srinivasacharya When he was young, he lovingly served his mother and father with great devotion. And on this instance, when he returned, she showered him with her motherly affection as he told the whole story of his journey since the time he had left many years before. Soon, all the inhabitants of Jajigram came to hear from Srinivasacharya, and he began to speak the teachings he had learned from Jiva Goswami, and all of Jajigram became his disciples. He inquired from them, "Please tell me about Lord Chaitanya's associates here in Bengal." And they exclaimed that Narahari Sarakar, who is so very, very dear to your heart, your own Shiksha Guru, he's withering away in separation. And Gadadhar Das, the inhabitant of Navadweep, seeing everyone leaving this world, is now living, practically eating, not eating or sleeping, just chanting the names of the Lord and his associates incessantly in Katva. When Srinivasacharya heard about all the devotees who had left the world and the condition of the few survivors, he fainted. And in his faint, Sri Advaitacharya appeared to him. Advaita, seeing Srinivas profusely immersed in an ocean of humility at his feet, lifted him up, placed his feet on his head and embraced him. And he said, "You will deliver many, many thousands and thousands of people. The message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will be spread throughout the land through you. But I have an instruction for you. You must get married. It is Lord Chaitanya's desire that you marry. Do not feel sorry about this." And then Lord Advaita disappeared. When he entered Srikanda, he met Raghunandan. And Raghunandan Thakur placed his feet on the head of Srinivas, embraced him. In fact, he soaked him with his tears. Raghunandan could not give up holding him. He was so happy to see him. And then brought him to Narahari Sarakar. Again and again he offered his obeisances to Narahari, and again Narahari embraced him in fatherly love. He said, When I see you, I'm feeling joy. You will do such great things in the service of the Lord as an instrument of his compassion to the fallen souls of this world. But where is Narottam? I long to see Narottam. I yearn to see Narottam. My heart is now blazing with the fire of separation from the Lord and his devotees. But when I see you and Narottam Das Thakur together performing Nam Sankirtan, that will soothe all the pain of my heart and make me joyful. When will you come before my eyes together to chant the holy name? Now you go out and deliver the fallen souls. But another thing, you must get married. This is what my heart feels. And then Narahari asked Raghunandan, "What is your opinion?" And Raghunandan Thakur said, "Yes, it is all of our opinion that he must marry." Srinivasacharya did not want to marry. He had no inclination to marry. He was quite embarrassed by the subject. But Narahari preached to him and dispelled his doubts.
Hare Krishna.
Then he went to Katva and met Gadadhar Das. Gadadhar Das explained, I was living in Navadvip. But then in separation from Lord Chaitanya, Vishnu Priya Devi left the world. And then Srivas Thakur left us. And then Murari Gupta left us. And then Suklambar Brahmachari left us. They were all leaving us. I could not remain in Navadvip. I am only here. And I am so unfortunate. Why do I still live? Why does my life air remain within this wretched body? I am living only to see you.
You should get married.
This is what my heart tells me. Do not feel sorry and do not be afraid. From Katva he returned to Yajigram, where Narottam Das Thakur came from Kateri Gram to meet him. When those two met, it was wonderful. It seemed like they were speaking about Krishna forever together. Their talks had no ends. Narottam Das Thakur went back to Kateri Gram. And a few days later, Raghunandan Thakur arrived in Jajigram, especially for the purpose of arranging the marriage. Should I continue?
Yeah.
Brahmachari, should I continue? Ladies, should I continue? There was a great Brahmin named Gopal Chakravarti. And he had a daughter of the name Draupadi. And for some mystical reason, he had a great longing to marry his daughter to Srinivasacharya. But he didn't tell anyone. He just kept it in his heart. Raghunandan Thakur one day came to Gopal Chakravarti and said, your daughter is perfectly suitable to marry Srinivasacharya. What do you think? And Gopal Chakravarti discussed with the relatives and they unanimously, joyously agreed. So Raghunandan arranged for the marriage in Jajigram. And just about the same time as the marriage, because Srinivasacharya, he was on a spiritual mission. He gave diksha to his wife. For him, that was the real thing. And gave her the name Ishwari. And then Gopal Chakravarti said, what about me? I want initiation too. I surrender. So just after the marriage, he initiated the wife's father, and the wife's two brothers, whose names were Shyam and Ramchandra. And a few days later, the two sons of Dvija Haridas, who you remember from Vrindavan, Sridas and Gokulananda, they came forward and explained the story of their father. That Lord Chaitanya has ordered my father to direct us to be your eternal servants, birth after birth after birth. Srinivasacharya initiated Sridas and Gokulananda. One day, in Jajigram,
Just outside of his house was a tree on the banks of a small lake. Srinivasacharya sat at that lake. At that time, there was a procession. A beautifully decorated palanquin was being carried by four servants. And sitting within that palanquin was one man. He was so beautiful. He was beautiful like Cupid. His face was just an ocean of charm. His every limb was perfect. Finely combed hair, beautiful silken dresses, exquisite ornaments. Srinivasacharya was actually spellbound by seeing the beauty of this man. And he asked one of his followers, "Who is that?" And he said, "His name is Ramchandra. He's just returning in all of his decorative opulence because he has just attended a wedding. This Ramchandra, he is a Digvijay Pandit. He's defeated people in all directions by his logic and philosophical arguments. He's a master of poetry, a master at art and music. He's renowned throughout this land." Srinivasacharya spoke quite loudly, in such a way that Ramchandra could hear him. He said, "Look at this man in the palanquin. He's trying to enjoy a dangerous rope. He has that rope around his neck like a noose, and it's tightening and tightening and tightening, and he's attached to that rope thinking that he will enjoy." That's all he had to say. Ramchandra heard this, and he saw Srinivasacharya. And in his heart, he surrendered his life. The procession, or the palanquin, took him home, and all night he spent in anguish. Who was that man? I must give my life to him. Whatever he spoke is true. I'm attached to my beauty. I'm attached to my opulences. It's just a noose around my neck, killing my very life. First thing the next morning, he went to Jajigram. And Srinivasacharya explained to him that all of the good qualities you have no value unless they're used in the service of Krishna. What you can do in Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, if with your charming qualities and great knowledge, you spread the glories of the holy name." Ramchandra fell at the feet of Srinivasacharya and surrendered his life and his soul unconditionally. And Srinivasacharya embraced him and said, "Just as I met Narottam Das Thakur in Vrindavan, similarly I am meeting you today. You and Narottam Das Thakur will be my two eyes. You will be my two arms. And the love and relationship between the two will be something profound." As soon as Ramchandra Kaviraj heard the name Narottam, his heart filled with bliss and love. And he couldn't understand it. He just longed to meet this Narottam. Srinivasacharya said, "I know what's in your heart. Your wish
will be fulfilled.
Sometime later, Srinivasacharya received a letter from Jiva Goswami asking him to return to Vrindavan. At the same time, he received another letter from King Birambir, who said, "I'm like an orphan without parents, without your association. This whole kingdom is going to wither and die if you don't come back." So Srinivasacharya returned to Vrindavan. There he was greeted by all the Goswamis with great love. And Jiva Goswami especially taught him from the new book he had just written, Gopal Champu, his own commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. While in Vrindavan, Ramchandra was in Jajigram, and he approached his younger brother, Sri Govinda. Now, I'd like to tell you something about Sri Govinda, with your permission. Sri Govinda was a staunch devotee of Bhagavati Durga. Ramchandra Kaviraj, as well as Sri Govinda, their father was an associate of Lord Chaitanya. His name was Chiranjeeva Sen, and mother named Sunanda, who was a great devotee. Their maternal grandfather, Damodar Kaviraj, was a very, very devoted Shakti, devotee of Durga Devi. Now, when Sunanda was pregnant with a child, months went beyond the expected date. And she was in great distress. This child's not coming out. So she had one of her associates approach her father, Damodar Kaviraj, who was doing puja to Bhagavati.
And Damodar Kaviraj said, "Oh, the child is not coming." And he picked up Bhagavati's large, sharp sword and said, "Use this sword." The maidservant was quite alarmed by this. So then what he did is he washed the sword with water and he collected that sword prasad and said, "Have her drink this water." And she drank the water, and that day the child was born. And he was given the name Sri Govinda. And because of that, the maternal grandfather very much insisted, "You are born by the mercy of Bhagavati, therefore your life, your soul, your everything must always be faithful to Bhagavati." Harivo. So meanwhile, his older brother, Ramchandra Kaviraj, he was now a disciple of Srinivasacharya, and just doing Nam Kirtan and Hari Katha and associating with devotees. And he was preaching to his brother, Sri Govinda. And Sri Govinda said, "No, you do what you like, but my life is the exclusive property of Bhagavati." And he worshipped Bhagavati with great devotion until one day Bhagavati told him, "You want shelter? You want liberation? There's only one place to go. Krishna, my Lord and Master, I order you, I command you, surrender to Krishna and accept Srinivasacharya as your spiritual master." So Sri Govinda, he went to Jajigram to surrender to Srinivasacharya, but he heard that Srinivasacharya had already left for Vrindavan. So he met his brother and surrendered to him, servant of the servant. Sri Govinda was one of the greatest poets in our Vaishnava history.
Vajahure mana srinandanandana abhayat sharanaravindare. He wrote many books of beautiful poetry, wonderful songs in pure unalloyed love. Ramchandra Kaviraj instructed his brother, you should go to the village of Budari because there's a large population in that area and almost everyone is heretics and atheists. You should go there and spread the glories of Lord Chaitanya's teachings and Nam Sankirtan to all those people. And when Srinivasacharya returns, certainly he will accept you as initiated disciple. Govinda Kaviraj made his home in Budari. Do you remember we visited his home? It is still there even today. Very historical, holy place. The devotees of Jajigram, including Sri Govinda, they all approached Ramchandra and begged him, please, bring Srinivas Acharya back. We can't live without him. Go to Vrindavan and bring him back. So Ramchandra went to Vrindavan. At the same time he arrived, Shyamananda Goswami arrived from Orissa. It was a grand reunion. Srinivasacharya introduced his loving disciple Ramchandra Kaviraj to all the devotees. At that time his name was Ramchandra, to all the devotees. And throughout their stay, please listen carefully, Ramchandra simply performed the most menial, humble services to assist his guru in the service of his guru. In Vrindavan, Srinivasacharya was performing menial, humble services to Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and Ramchandra Kaviraj was assisting him. And when Jiva Goswami saw this incredible relationship between guru, disciple, and grand disciple, his heart filled with joy. The poetry, the scholarship, the humility, and the devotion of Ramchandra captured everyone's heart. Therefore, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, after taking the permission of the assembled Vaishnavas, gave the title Ramchandra Kaviraj. Jiva Goswami sent them all back to Godadesh after some time. And whatever new books he had written, he gave to Srinivasacharya to print and distribute, including Gopal Champu. They all went to Van Vishnupuram. Srinivasacharya remained there for 2 months. And at that time, he initiated King Birambir, his queen, and a vast, vast population of the entire kingdom. Should I continue? When he heard the news that Narahari Sarakar had left this world, it had a great effect in his heart. And Raghunandan Thakur invited Srinivasacharya to come for a festival to celebrate the anniversary of his disappearance. Many of the great Mahants of Bengal came at that time. The sons of Advaita, the son of Nityananda, Birachandra, so many. They all assembled in Srikanda. And all the great Mahatmas, many personal associates of Lord Chaitanya, they requested Srinivasacharya to begin the festival by reciting Srimad Bhagavatam for one full day. It's so beautiful. From the very beginning of his spiritual life, he was attracted to the Bhagavatam. Gadadhar Pandit taught him the Bhagavatam. He was so eager to hear the Bhagavatam. Prabhupada told us, the qualification of one who can speak nicely is one who hears nicely. If you're eager to hear, then you will be empowered to speak. In Sri Kanda, these greatest saints in all the world assembled. Srinivasacharya took the dust of each and every one of their feet, bowed down in full prostration, and prayed for their permission to speak the Bhagavad Purana. They all blessed him. Only then would he begin. As he was reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, the great saints were discussing amongst each other that it seems that Sukadev Goswami is personally speaking through him. And somebody else said that Vedavyas is empowering him. Another person said, it is Gadadhar Pandit that is energizing him with such mercy. And somebody else said, when he speaks, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself is personally showering us with his love. That was the power of Srinivasacharya's preaching. After his Bhagavat recital throughout the day, the evening came and they began kirtan. Raghunandan Thakur put garland and chandan and chanted mantras to worship each karatal, each mardanga, and each musical instrument, because they were the worshipable paraphernalia of the Lord. And then each person who was singing and responding in the kirtan, Raghunandan was offering garlands and obeisances, and they were all offering obeisances to him. At that time, Birbhadra, the son of Nityananda Prabhu, called Srinivasacharya and said, give me garland, and put the garland on Raghunandan. And Raghunandan was very much embarrassed and picked up a garland and put it on Srinivasacharya. This was the loving exchanges amongst the devotees. They began their kirtan. Their kirtan was so sweet. In the midst of the kirtan, Birbhadra just got up from his seat and began to dance. His dance was so full of love and devotion that people were hypnotized. In fact, there was a blind man who had never seen the light of day in his entire life. This blind man just could hear everyone's ecstasies. And he said, who is that dancing? Tell me, who is that dancing? And someone said, it is Nityananda Nandana, Birbhadra. As soon as he heard that name, Birbhadra looked at the blind man and glanced on him. And the blind man opened his eyes to see the dance of Birbhadra. And tears pouring from his now perfect seeing eyes, his hair standing on end, leaping with joy, he cried out the glories of the holy name. And the devotees were struck with wonder. Can you imagine how the enthusiasm of that kirtan increased at that moment. The devotees were feeling such deep, deep pangs of separation from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Unable to resist their love, Lord Chaitanya personally appeared within that kirtan, dancing in ecstasy, and consoled all the devotees' hearts. And when he disappeared, all the Vaishnavas of the kirtan were just so full with joy. They were offering obeisances to each other and embracing each other again and again and again. One day, Srinivasacharya and Ramchandra Kaviraj went to the house of Govinda. Now, Govinda was sending such wonderful poetry to the Goswamis in Vrindavan that they gave him the title Kaviraj also. And actually, anyone who came from Bengal, from Godadesh, for years and years to come, one of the first things the Goswamis would ask, did you bring the bhajans, poems, and songs of Govinda Kaviraj? They loved them. They were very, very much showering their mercy. The greatest blessing we can get from a Vaishnav can only come when we please them. So, Srinivasacharya, Ramchandra Kaviraj were sitting in Budari one day, longing to meet Narottam Das Thakur. Ramchandra Kaviraj, years he was yearning to see Narottam Das Thakur. And Srinivasacharya was thinking right at that time, I have not heard any message from Narottam for a very long time. I wonder if everything is all right. At that moment, a messenger from Kethari came and introduced himself. My name is Durgadas. I am a disciple of Narottam Thakur, and I have come with a message for you. Ah, tell us, what is Narottam Das Thakur doing? And Durgadas explained, by his bold preaching, he has made his cousin brother, Santosh Dutt, who's the king of Kethari, he's made him a devotee, and now the whole kingdom of Kethari is chanting the holy names. Brahmins, scholars, sudras, dacoits, he's transformed all these people's hearts. Atheists are now mad with ecstatic love of Krishna, chanting the holy names by the power of Narottam Das Thakur. Lord Chaitanya told Narottam Das Thakur that he is residing in a grain storage silo full of venomous snakes, and he should come to deliver him. Narottam Das Thakur found out that there was a man named Vipradas who closed down his silos years before because they were infested with snakes. And Narottam Das Thakur, even though everyone cried out to stop him, just walked right into that grain storage, broke the lock, opened the door, all the snakes left forever, and he came out with the deity of Lord Gauranga. And by Lord Chaitanya's instruction, he had made five other sets of deities. The names of the deities: Balabikanta, Radharaman, Radhakanta, Radhakrishna, and Braj Mohan. And
He's coming here tomorrow to invite you to the festival to install those deities.
When Ramchandra Kaviraj heard that Lord, that Narottam Das Thakur is coming, his heart was leaping with happiness and expectation. The next day, Narottam Das Thakur arrived. And at that time, Srinivas Acharya Narottam Das Thakur so lovingly met. The deep bond of their friendship was so deep. Srinivas Acharya introduced Narottam Das to all the devotees. Meanwhile, Ramchandra Kaviraj was so humbled to see Narottam Das Thakur, he did not say a single word. He just sat silently. But I'll tell you something else. The night before Narottam Das Thakur came, Ramchandra Kaviraj was just in deep expectation to see him. And Lord Chaitanya appeared in a vision to Ramchandra Kaviraj. And Lord Chaitanya told him, "You do not know your true identity, but I do. You are as dear to me as Narottam. Together you will preach pure devotional service and rescue humanity. And tomorrow will be the day you meet." Ramchandra Kaviraj silently witnessed the beautiful exchange between his Gurudev and Narottam Das Thakur. And Srinivas Acharya and Narottam Das Thakur discussed the preparations for the festival. In fact, Narottam Das Thakur wished that Srinivas Acharya be the head priest to install the six sets of deities on Gaur Purnima. And that it was his desire to invite all the great associates of Lord Chaitanya. It was all decided. But Srinivas Acharya was feeling very much anxiety because it was short notice. How to send messages to all these people and get them to come on time. Because in those days, there was no telephones or mail or emails. Srinivas Acharya personally, with his own hands, wrote beautiful personalized invitations to each devotee and had them personally delivered. That was their devotion. Each letter of invitation was unique, personalized in every way, with magnificent handwriting. And he dispatched all of the messengers. But he was in anxiety. Will it reach them on time? But then Lord Chaitanya appeared on the pretext of a dream to Srinivas Acharya and told him, "Be in no anxiety. All of my followers will gather in Kethari for this festival." And they brought an invitation to Janava Devi, Ishwari. And she was very happy to receive it. And Lord Chaitanya appeared to her and said, "You must go to Kethari Gram. It is my wish. Because in that festival, drawn by the love of Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, and Shamananda, I will personally appear in Nam Sankirtan with all my associates." So Janava Devi made her journey. Vrindavan Das Thakur, the sons of Advaitacharya, the sons of the brothers of Srivas Thakur, Vrindavan Das Thakur, many intimate personal associates of Nityananda Prabhu,
They all converged in Kateri. And Srinivasacharya was the priest who performed the Abhishekam and all the ceremonies to install the deities after receiving the mercy and blessings of all the devotees. The greater a Vaishnav you are, the humbler you are. The greater a Vaishnav you are, the more you're absolutely dependent on the blessings and mercy of other devotees. If you do not have that conception, there's something seriously wrong. If because of our scholarship, renunciation, or seniority, we think we're independent, there's something seriously defective. Because amongst the greatest acharyas, they're utterly dependent on the blessings and mercies of other Vaishnavas. That is Lord Chaitanya's line. Even Lord Chaitanya himself followed this principle. So after the installation ceremony was complete, there was the aarti. First the offering of bhog, then the moonrise Gaur Purnima aarti in Kateri Graham. And it was now time for Nam Sankirtan. And Janava Devi gazed for a long time on Narottam Das Thakur, and in doing so she infused her own ecstatic shakti, the love of Nityananda, in his heart, because she wanted Lord Chaitanya to come. So the kirtan started and Narottam Das Thakur was singing sweet songs about Lord Chaitanya. And it evolved and evolved and evolved, this kirtan, into such a crescendo of spiritual emotion that the devotees were just crying out in their hearts in separation of Lord Chaitanya and his associates. And Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya appeared with all of his associates before the eyes of the assembled devotees. Lord Chaitanya was dancing. And there was Gadadhar Pandit dancing with Srinivasacharya. Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Prabhu, Srivas, Suklambar Brahmachari, Sarvaboma Bhattacharya, Ramananda Rai, Murari Gupta, King Prataparudra, Haridas Thakur, Swarup Damodar Goswami, Rupan Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Bhatt Goswami. They were all assembled together, dancing and chanting. The devotees were in inconceivable happiness. It cannot be described. But then everyone disappeared. And to whatever extent they were in ecstasy, now they were in agony of separation. They were just running. Where is Haridas Thakur? Where is Gadadhar Pandit? Where is Swarup Damodar Goswami? They were running everywhere, but they couldn't find him. All they could do was just fall to the ground, weeping. But Janava Devi, although she was moved more than anyone, that she saw her beloved consort Nityananda Prabhu again, but now he was gone. She wanted to pacify their hearts. And she called Srinivasacharya and said, "Begin the celebration of Holi." And Srinivasacharya with Narottam Das Thakur and Shamananda Prabhu brought the colors and sprinkled them very sweetly on the deities. And then all the remnants gave to the devotees, who sweetly sprinkled on themselves. And we'll never do that again at Radha Gopinath. We tried. But Shamananda Prabhu's prophecy came true. And they all blissfully celebrated Holi together. And thus Janava Devi presided as the senior most of the Vaishnavas, and Srinivasacharya was the head priest for the installation of the deities on the first Gaur Purnima festival ever celebrated after the Lord's disappearance.
Lord Chaitanya appeared to Srinivasacharya and ordered him to take another wife.
And explained who he wanted him to marry. It was not an ordinary lady. It was the daughter of Raghava Chakravarti and Madhavi. Her name was Padmavati.
And the king, when he heard, he understood it was the Lord's will that Srinivas accept another marriage, years after his first. And the king made a very, very royal festival for this marriage. And he married a girl named Padmavati. And then he initiated her and gave her the name Gauranga Priya.
Gauranga Priya and Ishwari, the wives of Srinivasacharya, they were like embodiments of the highest, purest devotion and compassion. They were manifestations of love, manifestations of surrender. Ishwari had three daughters. Each of these three daughters became great acharyas. Hemalata Thakurani was the eldest. She had thousands and thousands and thousands of disciples. Krishna Priya and Kanchana. And from Gauranga Priya, a son was born, Gati Govinda. And in the Jajigram, Chakandigram area, even to this day, the descendants of Srinivasacharya through Gati Govinda are still present. These are a few particles from one drop from the unlimited ocean of the glories of Srinivasacharya. There are so many stories and so many literatures about him. And we could learn so much about Vaishnava relationships, about what is actually of true value in our lives by hearing this story. As was spoken on many occasions through this narration, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally distributed his books through Srinivasacharya. So when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave this order to Srila Prabhupada on the banks of Radhakund, there is an immense, profound history behind it. And Srila Prabhupada understood how important it is. Srila Prabhupada, in his books, has so perfectly taken the commentaries of all of our great acharyas. And through those commentaries, through their realizations and their love, he has presented the world the Bhaktivedanta purports. Prabhupada claimed so many times, I am simply repeating the words of the previous acharyas. To understand and appreciate Prabhupada's books ever more, it's very wonderful to understand the lives, the sacrifice, the surrenders of the personalities of these acharyas.
their mercy, their grace, their love is manifesting through Srila Prabhupada, who was presenting their words, their realizations, and their mercy in such a way in the English language that people's hearts will be transformed all over the world. The intention of this brief narration today is with the hope to give little more inspiration in your hearts to really try to study, understand, and follow Srila Prabhupada's books. And be a part of this mission that is not only distributing the books, but distributing the culture that it represents of Vaishnav communities. In the spirit of servant of the servant of the servant, understanding the ultimate value of devotional service, and hearing about Krishna together, preaching the mission together, and especially on this occasion coming to Pune Yatra to perform Nam Sankirtan. This is Srila Prabhupada's very special gift to all of us. Let us be grateful and express our gratitude through our sincere and earnest will to surrender. Thank you very much. I'm very sorry. Lunch is waiting. So please forgive me for any mistakes or offenses I may have made today. Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki, Nithai Gaur Chandra ki.